talks kind of lazy, and people say she's crazy, and her life's a mystery. Oh, but love grows where my rosemary goes, and nobody knows like me.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning to you. It's Tuesday, and this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and on the panel and the host of the next hour is Mr. Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line.
Good morning.
And hey, that song is special. We got a reason for playing that one.
There is a reason to play that. Of course, we always like to acknowledge the artists.
Good luck.
This one was definitely a one-hit wonder.
I thought,
Edison Lighthouse.
I know.
From 1970.
There it is. I thought, goodness.
Man.
I looked up the
lyrics. Do the math. That's 56 years.
Ooh, I don't even want to think about it.
I don't even know. It's probably wrong math. But the reason we play that song, My Love Goes Where My Rosemary Goes.
My love grows.
My love grows where my rosemary goes.
There you go.
Wow. Anyway, our good friend and wonderful listener and Catherine left us a huge bag of rosemary clippings.
It's huge, y'all.
It is a huge bag. So we've been passing that out to the whole staff at the radio station. And everybody's got a sprig of rosemary.
Everybody loves it. It just smells so wonderful.
Oh, yeah. And somebody walked in a minute ago who didn't know what we were doing and said, "What smells so good?"
Right. Everybody's. So thank you, Catherine. So sweet. She always gives us a couple of magazines,
exactly,
too.
And oh, yes. I got the Audubon magazine,
mm-hmm,
that Catherine gives me every now and then. Which,
and I got Southern Living, which I really enjoy.
That Audubon is the best bird photos one would ever want. Anyway, Catherine, thank you for thinking about us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great.
And as they say, that song was for you.
I know, Edison Lighthouse. I don't recall, but I remember this song very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this.
I wonder if somebody else covered that song. I don't know.
It sounds like the original to me.
It does to me, too.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know.
But I'd be curious to know who was in that band who maybe went on to do other things. That could be...
Well, I would check with our research department, but...
They're back there smelling rosemary.
One of them tried to eat some of them. Uh-huh. I don't know. That's a weird group. That's
eggs.
A weird group back there.
A little sprinkling of rosemary tastes really good on scrambled eggs.
Really?
Yes. It's a fabulous combination.
Is that right?
Yes, really good.
Never tried
and
that.
In marinara sauce, if you want to give it a little zing. People think, what is that? But it always tastes really good.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
God, I learn a lot on the Garden Line.
Not from me.
I really do.
Okay, let's get serious now.
Okay, let's get serious now, because we have a one-word problem that we have to solve.
Okay.
That one word is drought.
Ooh,
it
yes.
It is a real problem. And so we have just got to, as gardeners, of course, get watering. As we go into the show, if we get a chance, I want to read a recommendation from the county agent about watering that I really... And no offense to the county agent, I tend to disagree with them. I think we need to kind of get on a schedule here. Remember last week,
mm-hmm,
we said maybe we should go three times a week for 30 minutes.
Right.
Depending on where you live. Now, if you live up in the northern part of the county, you may not need to go quite that much. If you live in Gulf Breeze or at the beach, you may need to do a little bit more simply because of the amount of sand and drainage that you might have. So we've got to get that water on there. Now, I guess the good news is this drought, if you will, is not happening after we have planted all our spring plants. Mm-hmm. Now, I know a lot of people have, and I don't think that's wrong, because I don't believe we're going to have any more frost or freezes. So if you've already done it, you really need to concentrate on any new plantings that you have. That's critical. Even the container plants, because it just dries out so fast, humidity's low. So we've got to pay attention to that.
That's
because, as you know, as we talk about here, landscaping nowadays is not inexpensive. And we just have got to do everything we can to protect what we plant. We enjoy them, that's for sure, but we need to protect them also. So get on with that watering,
mm-hmm,
and if that sprinkler system's off, tee it up, get it back on. Let's go.
Well, you in the past have recommended a schedule. So what would you say now with
this drought?
Well,
that's what I was going to say. I really believe if we did it three times a week.
Mm-hmm. Mornings, afternoons.
Oh, no, mornings. Oh, absolutely mornings. Because as we have said, if you do it at noon and even later than that, when it's warm and the sun is shining, it just evaporates. So it's not getting down into the roots of the turf. If you do it at night, I always equate it to throwing a wet pair of tennis shoes in the closet. It's just gets yuck, moldy, and it does kind of encourage fungus. So you don't want to do that. So early morning, you can go anywhere from 4 o'clock on, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 in the morning. Do it then, and you've got it done. And it should get down into the roots of the plant, the turf, if you will, where it can do some good. So that's what we need to do.
Okay. Well, we've already got some texts coming in, and we love hearing from you, our gardeners out there in the garden line land.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if we have time during the show today, Meg, I've got a nice blog here from Beth Bowles.
Oh, okay, Beth Bowles.
Who is one of our great extension agents.
The other Beth Bowles, not Becca Bowles, but Beth
Bowles. No, this is Beth Bowles.
Oh, okay.
This is County Extension. I know Becca Bowles.
Yes,
pretty,
I know.
She's pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
But Beth
Bowles
is a great extension agent, and she's got some easy steps for a healthy and attractive lawn. I'm not totally sure how easy they are, but before the show's over, we'll go over some of that. Even if we have to do it in a lightning round,
okay,
we'll get it done for sure.
Okay, so we've got some texts rolling in. If you've got a question for Mike about gardening or plants, anything, 850-437-1620. So my first question that's come in is, my winter rye is starting to die off. Is it time to overseed with Bahia? I'm planning to spread topsoil before spreading the seed, and there are weeds that need to be controlled. Should I apply weed killer, then topsoil, then seed, and is this the right time?
Well, that's a great question. The Bahia, first thing I would do is think real hard about the Bahia. Now, I don't know what our person texting, how they're going to use it.
Mm-hmm. This is Marcus, by the way.
Oh, Marcus. Well, Marcus knows what he's doing, so I won't even go there. Except Bahia is probably not the grass of choice in Pensacola.
Mm-hmm.
It sends up those seed heads and... if you plant, there are two types of Bahia. One is Argentine Bahia, one is Pensacola Bahia. The Pensacola Bahia is horrible. They use it, Florida FDOT uses it as on the right-of-ways of interstates.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's so drought-tolerant. It is. I mean, you can't kill it. So that's the thing you have to decide is Bahia is right for you. If you've got weeds in your yard, I would be tempted to go ahead and address that, because the temperatures are really perfect for some of your post-emergence weed killers like Trimec, because what you don't want to do is wait so long till we inch into the high 80s and even the 90s, and then you can have some problems. But I'm not a big believer in using weed killer when you're going to put out seed. If you've got that weed killer in the soil there doing its thing, killing the weeds, and you put out Bahia seed and it germinates, it's real tender. And I think time-wise, you might have some problems getting damaging those newly germinated seeds. So I might either do the Bahia seed or the weed killer, one or the other. And I think the Bahia seeds is what they need to do. Then once that Bahia is up and growing, then you can address the seeds later in the season. I mean, the weeds later in the season. That's a great question.
Okay.
Great question. And putting that topsoil on there, Bahia will grow in our sand very easily. The topsoil you're going to put on there, in the whole scheme of things, may not be necessary. We need to sit down, Marcus, here studio,
right?
And kind of get some details on what he's up to.
Okay.
But that's sort of just a few comments.
Okay, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line and your comments at 850-437-1620. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins, where we've been talking with Marcus by text all about his lawn. And you wanted to mention a few
things. I just want to say one thing to Marcus. I've been sitting here doing a little arithmetic in regards to Marcus's question or call, I think you would be safe, Marcus, if you wanted to go ahead and address the broadleaf weed problem. Now keep in mind, no pre-emergence weed killer whatsoever. That will keep bahia seed from coming up. But if you use your post-emergence weed killer, such as Trimec, it's one we like, for dollar weed, Florida Pusley, and some of those, and did it now, right now, and then waited, let's say, 30 to 60 days to sow your bahia seed, would be the smart thing to do. That way, you would be sowing the bahia seed once the turf has totally warmed up, and you'll get a quicker germination if you do that. So if you put enough time between that weed killing, doing it right now, and the sowing of your bahia seed, I think you'll be okay. But keep in mind, some people like to use weed and feed. They've all heard our philosophy on that. We don't like that product. Don't use it if you can help it. But if you put something like that on your existing turf, then any grass seed for the spring, I think, is off the table. I wouldn't do it, because that pre-emergence chemical like atrazine will keep weeds from coming up, but it'll sure keep grass seed from coming up also. So anyway, just a few more comments.
And also Marcus just texted Marcus back.
I liked Marcus's question.
Yes, he texted back, very sandy. You were talking about his
soil. So I think that sandy's fine. Insofar as bahia grass goes, no question.
Okay. So we played this morning. We were welcomed when we came in with this big, beautiful bag full of rosemary cuttings. And thank you so much, Catherine, for that. So the whole studio now smells like rosemary. And everybody in the station's been grabbing pieces of it and stuff.
Oh, yeah, they love
so
it.
What's really funny, though, is that we were talking about that. So we found that song, Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes, for those of you who can remember that from 1970. And I commented, the band is Edison Lighthouse. So our research department has come through once again.
They woke up.
And we got a text in that says, members of Edison Lighthouse went on to tour with ELO, Electric Light Orchestra.
Really? Okay, big
and
time.
And the group First Class, who sang the hit song Beach Baby. I remember that song. And they were a British pop band from 1969 to 70. How about that? That's so cool. Thank you so much.
That is cool.
I don't have a name that goes with the number, but thank you so much to my research department.
That's
awesome.
Let's give them some extra rosemary sprigs, okay?
Yes, for sure.
Just to thank them for that hard work.
Okay, got another text in this morning from Vicky. She's one of our regular listeners to the show. She says, I've texted in a couple of times with questions regarding planting a crepe myrtle tree. I finally planted it this weekend. It is in honor of my dad, who passed away on Father's Day last year. It'll bloom red, which is to represent my dad's favorite NASCAR driver's car. Just wanted you to know it's beautiful, and thank you for the tips.
Well,
and she sent a photo of the tree.
All I've got to say is that's a special call,
yeah.
And we really appreciate her sharing that with us. Just one thing I would add to that, with the drought and the crepe myrtle tree already is in the ground, and that's good. That's perfect time to do it. As opposed to letting your sprinkler system water the crepe myrtle, since it's so new, at least a couple times a week, I would get your garden hose and take it out to where you've planted the crepe myrtle and let it just kind of dribble on it, maybe for an hour or two, so you get a deep, deep watering, especially in this dry time we're in right now. That would really help, because if you planted a new crepe myrtle, and didn't do any watering, of course. I know we're not going to do that with this tree. But I think letting that hose dribble on it like that allows you some real deep watering, which is very beneficial for a new planted tree, no doubt.
Okay. So congratulations on that. The picture looks great.
That is great.
Okay, another text came in. And if you'd like to text in a question for Mike about gardening, 850-437-1620. This one says, good morning. My husband put out pre-emergent mid-February, and she had texted in about that, by the way. And when should we fertilize, and what do you recommend? And that's from Ashland and Perdido.
That's a great question. As a matter of fact, in those six easy steps for a healthy and attractive lawn, Beth Bowles, who sent that to me, addressed that very, very same question. One, she says, don't do it too early. And we've always said that, because you need the grass to accept those nutrients, and if the soil is still cold. Beth is recommending mid to late April. So really, it's not long. It's only really 2 to 3 weeks from now would be the better time to fertilize. Now, a lot of people get impatient and do it right now. Probably not wrong. It'll probably be okay. But if you really want to do it the way it's recommended by the extension folks, and those of us here on the garden line, I would wait. They even say in some literature, wait till May.
Okay.
Wait till May to do it. And which one to use? I really like the 1608 formula lawn fertilizer. But when we come back from our break, we'll kind of go a little further with that.
Okay, you're listening to The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Garden Line on Pep Talk. Good morning, I'm Megan. Mike Wiggins is our host. He's going to be around for the next half hour, so we got plenty of time to get to your questions. Yeah. 850-437-1620.
Right. I wanted to follow up just a little bit on the fertilizer question, because the person that gave us the text said, what should she use? And I told her, I like that 1608. But if you buy a lawn fertilizer like 1608, there are other formulas that are good, too. I noted one, I saw the other day, 2244, because the secret to getting your grass to really go is, one, wait a little bit longer till the ground warms up, and be sure to use the fertilizer where the first number is the biggest number. That's nitrogen. Now, remember now, a winterizer, what we do in the winter, mm-hmm. is kind of the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger number is at the end of the formula, but no secret. 1608, 16% nitrogen, 2244, 22% nitrogen. But when you buy your lawn fertilizer, be sure of a couple things. One, it's slow release, it's granular, it has a lot of minor elements in it, specifically iron. And if you do all of that, and sometimes you have to pay a little bit more for all of that good stuff in the fertilizer, it'll make a huge difference. The slow release is really important, because during the summer, it'll continue to feed the lawn. And then with St. Augustine, probably in July, you want to come back with another high nitrogen fertilizer. It's just a kicker on that St. Augustine. Centipede grass, I wouldn't worry about it in the summer. You can put some iron on there, but it's not that big a deal. Zoysia, you need that nitrogen in the summer also. So different ways to look at this thing, but the point is to be sure you get a quality fertilizer. It will make a big, big difference. And then, water-wise, don't put it on a wet lawn, whatever you do, because what will happen is those granules will stick to the blades of grass and burn them.
Oh,
you don't
want
to do that. You want to put the fertilizer out on dry grass and water it immediately after you put it out.
Interesting.
And one good thing, like that 1608, if you've got a hedge of ligustrum and azaleas and that type of thing, you can just use your rotary spreader and just let that fertilizer go into your flower bed. And you fertilize all of that at the same time you did your lawn, because that formula is good for your basic shrubs moving forward.
Wow, that's great advice.
Yeah.
So many tips in there that I don't know about. That's wonderful.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just you need to use the right thing. It's kind of like we talked about the other day, replanting house plants.
Right.
You know, you need to spend more money on the dirt than you did on the plant. So it's quality stuff.
Do you recommend a brand of fertilizer? Are there some better than others?
Well, one I really have liked over the years is Fertilone.
Okay.
Fertilone brand. It's good. And now a lot of our local garden centers carry that brand.
Okay, super. Talking with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. He's going to be here for another half hour. So you got plenty of time to get those questions in. 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back after the news. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, and this is the Garden Line on Tuesdays with Mike Wiggin and Meg. We're so happy to have you here. Getting lots of texts this morning with questions about gardening and getting ready for spring, and in particular lawns. Getting a lot of grass questions today. 850-437-1620. And this one says, "Hello.
Hello.
I used the atrazine 2 weeks ago.
That's
late.
Good.
I know. I see a fair amount of dollar weed in my St. Augustine grass. What do I do now? Weed and feed?" Thanks.
No. No weed and feed. That's the wrong thing to do. Weed and feed, we don't like it, because generally the chemical in the weed and feed should have been done early and the fertilizer in the weed and feed later. They don't mesh. So it's not a good product for us here in Pensacola. Now, what I would do if you put that weed, if you put the atrazine out, that is good. I would give it at least till, oh, let's say, the second or third week in April. And then I would come back with a post-emergence, like we talked about a minute ago. One of my favorites is Trimec. There are a lot of other ones on the market, but Trimec is good, especially for dollar weed. And as a matter of fact, only for broadleaf weeds. Once again, dollar weed, Florida pusley, Virginia buttonweed, that type of thing. It's not that good for crabgrass or some of your grassy weeds, but I would follow up with that, oh, let's say mid-April, and that's probably about the last time you might be able to do it, because after that, it's going to be too hot. If you use atrazine or Trimec or any of those weed killers when temperatures are approaching 90, in some instances, you might as well use a blowtorch. It will burn things up. Just be so careful. And if you're going to use that Trimec, watch the weather. If it's in the 90s, you may just have to pass. But mid-April, it should be fine.
Okay, great. That's a great question.
Yes.
Okay, got another one. Still talking about lawns here. Hang on one second. Do you have a brand of fertilizer for St. Augustine you recommend and where to buy it?
Well, as you said, I like the Fertilone brand. It's been around for years and years and years. And I believe Larry out of Pensacola Seed and Garden carries some Fertilone products. And Werner Turf carries some Fertilone products. I would think one of those two would have the 1608 or an appropriate lawn fertilizer that's quality. Once again, that's an old brand. The Fertilone is known for its quality. They have a brand that's associated with Fertilone that is kind of their quality, not quality, but cheaper brand,
okay.
Put it that way. Mm-hmm. But the Fertilone brand is what you want.
Okay, great advice and some great questions rolling in. Okay, this is from Michael. He says, this is interesting. This is kind of a research department thing here, so get ready. He says, collect the dollar weed. You ready for this? Boil it in water to make a tea. Helps inflammation. And then in big, bold, capital letters, says, ancient Vietnamese secret.
Really?
Interesting, huh?
Really?
Okay.
I don't really have a comment for that.
I don't know that I've ever seen Mike speechless before.
Well, other than, it's just very interesting, because there are a lot of things, you know, that we grow that you don't think about that are edible, but I never would have thought dollar weed. As a matter of fact, I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, if you live in Gulf Breeze, you have so much dollar weed that if it was edible, you could feed the third world.
But
now we're learning that it is edible. It's very interesting. That's a great.
Yeah, I love little things, like little remedies and things
that. I got a question for you. I just wondered, did you pick that up when you were in Vietnam back in the 60s and 70s?
We just had how
did you learn about that?
Yeah, I'd love to know, too, because Sunday was National Vietnam Veterans Day.
You know, I was going to mention that.
Mm-hmm. And, so thank you to those who gave their
many, many thanks to those that served during that period of time in Vietnam. We appreciate that more than you know. A lot of those folks that served in Vietnam were my generation.
Mm-hmm. Well, my brother served.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
He's a helicopter pilot.
And it was a rough go.
1968 to 1969.
But thank goodness for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Michael says this is from his Vietnamese girlfriend, so that's really interesting.
Michael, thank you.
Now, Bruce, who Bruce says, are you sure that this tea is not an early April Fool's?
you know. That's a good point, but I don't think it is.
No, I don't think it is either.
I think it's legit.
I think it is, because Michael says it's from his girlfriend, so that's very interesting.
Well, very good.
I love things like that. So if you have a comment or a question, you can always text it in at 850-437-16. 20. Looks like we've gone through most of the questions here. Somebody sent a nice comment. Thank you so much. Said, good morning. Gardeners on the loose. Love to listen when you two are together. So that's very sweet.
Well,
we
thank
love
you so much.
That you listen. Okay, so you had some things you
wanted to
talk about.
I wanted to go back.
Because you had mentioned vegetables. We haven't gotten to vegetables yet.
Well, we haven't gotten there. We're not there yet. Here's where we are. Beth Bowles sent us this thing, 6 easy steps for a healthy and attractive lawn, which
kind of
goes with kind of our theme today. And she starts out saying, it's not rocket science to have an attractive and healthy yard.
For her, maybe.
Exactly. And however, it's evidence-based science following IFAS, which is the Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences out of the University of Florida. It's taking the IFAS recommendations will help your turf to be healthy and beautiful. Okay,
nice.
You ready to go? Now, some
yes,
of this we've covered, so I'll just hit it real quick. Don't fertilize before April 15th. We said that a minute
mm-hmm.
ago. Right. Says you might see some green turf blades, but the roots need to warm up before you fertilize. We've said that.
You said that.
Exactly. It says turf growth is not improved by getting a jump on the season. So hold back. Okay. That's good advice. We've talked about that. Okay. Number two, these are six of these. Number two, soil test every 2 years so you'll know what nutrients your turf grass really needs. Now, the Escambia County Extension Service can help you with that. They'll send it off, and they'll send you back more than you ever wanted to know about your lawn. But the one thing they will tell you that is so important on that soil test is one number, and that's the pH of your soil. That indicates whether it's acid or not. I always say the number to look for is 6. If the number is below 6, then the centipede grass, you're fine. With St. Augustine, you probably need to put some lime on. And it will tell you, the soil test, how much lime to put on. Put on 25 pounds per 1,000 square feet or 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet. It'll tell you a lot. But that one number, now, I have purchased over the years a little gizmo that I used to put in the ground,
mm-hmm.
and it was supposedly telling me the pH. Don't trust it. Maybe the new ones are more high-tech, but back then, I tell you, it just didn't work. Okay, now, number three on best list, pass on the weed and feed fertilizers. Although they're convenient, the ingredients need different times. We've talked about that a lot, so we'll pass on that. Okay, this is one I don't totally agree with. You ready? Water only when the turf shows signs of needing water. The state has always said that, but I just think sometimes if you wait till your grass starts showing signs of needing water, and what St. Augustine will do is you've got a blade of St. Augustine, it will fold up, just like you're folding your hands. Or if you're walking on St. Augustine and it really needs water, you can see your footprints behind you. So that's really when they say water. I think you need to do it before that. And I have just found over the years that a very exact schedule works best. Now, if you are on the 3 times a week, half an hour schedule that we like, that's fine. If it rains, just don't do it. Turn off the system. You can, adjust like that. But to wait until that grass needs showing signs of drought, I personally think sometimes that's waiting too long. Now, I'm going to get all these calls from the county agents saying, Mike, you don't know what you're talking about. But that's just how I've approached it.
I don't know. I would take your expertise any day,
sir. Don't do that.
We got to take a quick break, but he's got a couple more items on this list to taking care of your lawn, and we've got some questions rolling in on Pep Talk. So we'll be back with the Garden Line in just a minute. Good morning. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, and Mike's going through a list about lawn care.
Yeah, one more quick comment about the water and what Beth recommends is apply 1/2 to 3/4 inch when your turf shows signs of distress, of drought, if you will. Okay, and then you need to measure each zone to see how much 1/2 to 3/4 water actually is, which will tell you how long to run your sprinkler system. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice project, but if you're not looking for a project,
right,
just water 3 times a week. Okay, mow your yard. Mow it high, always, and always remove only 1/3 of the blade of grass. One of the worst things we can do is scalp our lawn. We don't want to do that. And finally, if the turf is just not growing right, and you've done everything you can do. It just may not be in the right place. So it's time to sometimes regroup and put ground covers or something else down versus St. Augustine, Zoysia, or Centipede.
Okay.
That's it. That's best list.
Wow, that's a great list.
I appreciate her sending that.
Okay, so we still have another couple of questions coming in. What do sod farmers put on their lawns to keep weeds out and keep it growing?
I think it's the same thing
use. Okay.
I think they use some of the same chemicals we do. There are some commercial products out there that are really not for residential use.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe the basic chemicals that they use are what we use as homeowners. So.
Okay.
I think that's the question.
All right. Michael's on a roll this morning.
Let me tell you, let's go back.
Yes, sir.
Who asked that question?
Oh, I don't have a name on that one.
Okay. But let me tell you something. One of the big turf growers in the whole region are some of the folks at Werner Turf.
Oh, okay.
It's where so many people buy their sod. So if you want it, if you're over at Werner Turf, maybe buying your Fertilome fertilizer, ask them what they use in their sod fields. Over in Alabama, they've got a bunch of sod fields. They cut it, bring it over to Pensacola, and sell it. So that's a good question for them.
Okay, great. So I was just laughing here because Michael's on a roll.
Michael.
So he just sent in another thing, which is interesting. Two easy steps for the perfect lawn. Number one, kill all the grass and remove it. And then number two, add rocks.
I've got a couple of reasons that I don't like rocks. One, they're heavy. They are heavy. And I always tell people, if you've got some youngsters in your house, little boys especially.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they love to throw rocks. And you might have some broken windows. But seriously, on a serious note, you put rocks down as a ground cover.
Mm-hmm.
Many times they will literally sink. And you have to kind of redo it. Some people will put down a plastic cover and put the rocks on top of that. You can do it that way, but rocks.
I don't know. I had tried that because I thought it'd be simpler. I'm always looking for the easy out. Well, the rocks drifted the first rain into the street, into the yard, into the driveway,
But one thing you have to remember, I bet people who've done this know what I'm talking about. If you've put down rocks over the years, or you say you have a flower bed that. People who had the house before you put down rocks, trying to get rid of the rocks, get them out of the bed,
right.
out of the dirt, is not an easy task. So, Michael, rocks may not be your best choice, but, give it a shot.
I have a feeling that was more of a sense of humor than a reality.
I think so, too.
And we just had a call that came in, and we got dropped accidentally, so I do apologize to that listener. Sometimes it's better when you can text in your question because we can get to it a little easier. So I'm sorry that we missed your call. And then Catherine sent a little note, said, thank you both for your kind words. And I will say it again, she brought in some rosemary for us and for the whole staff for Easter. So happy Easter to you and to all our listeners coming up this weekend.
Exactly.
But really, the whole studio is just, the fragrance of the rosemary is beautiful.
And Catherine, what you need to do, of course, if you maybe didn't catch the beginning of the show, is get on your computer and Google Edison Lighthouse. and you'll hear the theme song that we dedicated to you.
Yes. Love grows where my rosemary goes. Exactly. Okay, there you go. That's awesome. So also, you had talked a little bit. We got a few minutes left here, Mike, when we had some pictures sent in that I'll have you look at later. But
okay.
So talk about vegetables. I'm dying to know about tomatoes.
Tomatoes.
Because I really want to try to grow some this year.
We may need more time for this.
Should we do that next week?
Oh, of course. But let me tell you who sent me a note on growing tomatoes.
Oh, okay.
My friend Daniel Leonard. Remember Daniel Leonard? He's the guy who I just really respect his talent in writing about horticulture.
Uh-huh.
He's the Calhoun County Extension Director.
Oh.
And the guy, he's just great. Anyway, we'll start this off. And we'll talk about it, because what I'm going to say at the beginning is important. Everybody should grow a tomato plant. Now, a few key decisions that you've got to make. The first choice is, are you going to use seeds or grow tomatoes by growing seeds or transplants?
Mm-hmm.
Just tomato plants already growing. And he says, if you haven't already started the seeds, too bad,
too late.
Too bad, too. I love the way he writes. Too bad, too late. He says tomatoes will take 60 days
from
seed germination to harvest. And it takes much longer for those seeds to germinate. Some longer than 75 to 85 days. And what he's trying to do is to, if you plant seeds and they come up and you plant it, by the time you harvest, we're going to be in the real heat of the summer where you've got so many varmints and fungus and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he says the way to do it is by transplant. And, of course, when we come back, we're going to take a little break.
We're going to take a quick break.
I'm going to tell you what variety or brand name to buy.
Perfect. Okay, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. We'll be back with Pep Talk in just a sec. And we're back with The Garden Line and Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. Mike, you're going to wrap things up this morning.
Well, real quick, let me just finish a few things on this Daniel Leonard memo about tomatoes. He says his general rule is to harvest his tomatoes by mid-May. The earlier, the better. Don't be late by planting. Okay, now the next question he says is, where do you want to grow them? In the ground or in containers, in pots? And he recommends in pots for the main reason, if you plant them in our native soils, it may not happen this year, but it may happen next year, the year after, you will have an incurable plant problem called the wilt.
Mm.
You know what the wilt looks like, Meg?
Every plant in my house.
It suffers from the wilt.
Oh, go ahead.
Only tomato plants.
Oh, sorry.
Wait a minute, you got the wrong one. It's a bacterial wilt. And it's no secret what it is. You've got your nice pot of Better Boy tomatoes, and they're growing up, and they're doing great. And you walk outside, and it looks like somebody poured hot, boiling water on that plant. Every bit of the foliage is just drooping.
I've seen that.
Exactly. And once it's in that particular area in the soil, many times you can't really get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he recommends planting in containers using good soil. But remember we talked about earlier about soil quality, especially with tomato plants. You're going to pay a lot more for the dirt than you are for the plant.
But makes sense.
No, because the dirt makes all the difference in the world. But if you're in a container, of course, need perfect drainage, full sun, a tomato cage. You can buy them anywhere so that plant can go up and it's easy to harvest that way. And your harvest is probably going to be better. And plus some of the bottom branches of the tomato plant you might do without because, that once again, they'll be close to soil, and that's really not where you want it to be. So there's a few tricks here with growing tomato plants, and I appreciate Daniel Litter. He is really good.
And you can look him up.
You can. Or you can go over to Calhoun County and meet him.
There you go.
I've been thinking about doing that.
A road trip for the Garden Line. There you go.
Absolutely.
Catherine, once again, thank you for the rosemary.
Yes,
it's just
Catherine,
fabulous.
Thank you.
And everybody, you can listen to this broadcast on newsradio923.com, podcast, click on Garden Line, and you can take notes. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Meg. Fun.